so if I can, before we get started, if I can ask everybody to either turn their cell phones off or put them on vibrate so that not disrupting anybody that may be speaking. All right, so let's have the roll call, please.
Commissioner Madigan.
Excused.
Commissioner Geary.
Excused.
Commissioner Anderson.
Here.
Commissioner Blackburn.
Here.
Commissioner Taggart.
Here.
And Supervisor Perez.
Not here.
Unexcused.
All right. That's a joke. Okay. Next, we have the approval of the summary proceedings from September 21st, 2016. Do we have any additions or questions?
I don't see any errors.
Okay. All right.
But it was a quick.
Yes, it was.
It was a quick scrutiny.
Okay, so then do we have a motion?
I make a motion to accept, receive, and file.
Okay, and do I have a second?
I'll second.
All right, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. Eat. I have a blank page. Is that supposed to be there?
Yes.
Okay.
It's a speed bump.
Oh, good. That's it. We're done. Okay. I've received the consent agenda. We have correspondence. Nothing. Wow.
It's going to be short.
Okay. Moving on to item D, public presentations. This portion of the hearing is reserved for persons to address the commission on any matter not on this agenda, but under the jurisdiction of the commission. Commissioners may respond briefly to statements made or questions posed. They may ask a question for clarification, make a referral to staff for factual information, or request staff to report back to the commission at a later meeting. Also, the commission may act to direct the staff to place a matter of business on a future agenda. Please state your name and address for the record before making your presentation up here at the podium. And since we have some guests, we're going to go ahead and extend the time to 5 minutes, maybe a little more. It's an easy meeting. So, with that said, let's go ahead and have our first guest speaker.
While Aaron is coming up, I want to introduce him, Aaron Malloy and Tina Gonzalez. Aaron is the manager of the Echo on Gosford, and he is extremely innovative. He's a marketing guru when it comes to animals. He's a past manager of the store in Modesto, had some really great things. When I first talked to him, I was immediately impressed by his talent for doing this and his love for animals. And so I asked Jeff to come by and meet him because I thought this guy is someone we need to get on board and talk to. He also and his wife, we went on a tour today of animal services, and Nick was nice enough to give us a tour. The spay spa or the surgery spa, high tech, looks like something out of USC. I thought it was really impressive. So thanks for the tour. Anyway, we're going to turn it over to Aaron, and I appreciate Aaron and Tina showing up tonight.
All right, thank you. I'll just speak out.
Mm-hmm.
So honestly, I want to say thank you to everybody for having me come out here today. I know it's not really common to have a vendor such as myself, Petco. I mean, it's normally blasphemy to say PetSmart as well because I'll burst into flames. But other than that, I really do want to say from the bottom of my heart, I appreciate all of you on behalf of Petco. We want to say thank you for having me here today, as well as my dog trainer, senior dog trainer, Tina. I just want to take a few minutes to kind of tell you a little bit about something that's brought a lot of, publicity to Modesto and Stanislaus County as a whole, and that's through our local 501c rescue Pups and Pals, and just adoptions as a whole. With that being said, I transferred out here a few months back, and I kind of want to do the same thing here. Tina's going to kind of show you a couple of pictures that we've taken in Modesto. Pups and Pals and myself, we have a history ever since I actually transferred that store from Stockton. I think it was back in 2012. During that time, we've actually made a very strong showing with the community. What we'd like to do is actually go out there, and it's one thing to have a shelter. It's one thing to have a shelter with the people there, and they come in, and you see all the dogs and the kennels, and sometimes it's not the happiest environment, even though it's for a wonderful cause. So with our doors being open, we have drawn foot traffic in the essence of about 1,500 to 1,800 people in a single day to come and look at these events, see the adoptions. A lot of people are like, well, Aaron, you just worried about the sales. Petco just wants an image of money.
honestly, we lose money every time we do this because it's not about the money. It's actually about making a difference in the community. Modesto Store is actually one of the lowest poverty areas in the city. There's homeless all over the place. But the thing is, people don't see that when they come to my previous store. What they see is hope, opportunities. They see pets. They see family. And that's what they're trying to do here. They're trying to bring about literally just a full-blown effort to start something different. And I know a lot of people stand here and talk, but I actually want to show you something. This one here is probably one of the most proudest pictures I've ever seen. This store had lost $50,000 in 1 year when they opened up a PetSmart. Now, again, that's numbers. We're talking about unemployment rate at 2015 at 9.6%. All this is out of their minds when they come to the store because they're here for the heart and the family of the pets that they love. And they want a bigger opportunity to adopt pets and get them out of the shelters. And again, when they go into a store such as this, we don't see the cages anymore. We see the smiles, we see the friends, the family, and soon to be your loved ones when you adopt. I really do appreciate the opportunity that Nick has given me, as well as Gary, to actually go and be a part of that. But I'm also going to turn this to Tina really quick, and she'll kind of explain to you a little bit the reason why we're having such a problem with animals going to shelters.
What you guys think is the number one reason that dogs get euthanized in shelters?
Behavior.
There we go. Behavior. Because people don't put the effort in to train a dog. It's easier to just drop them off at the shelter and say, well, my dog shred the shoes. But if you educate the people and train them to train their dogs, it makes a happy dog, it makes a happy owner. But at the end, we don't have to put them in a shelter, and they don't get euthanized. So doing that, having those events, I educate. I tell the people, come on, let me help you. Let me help you to train your dog, because it makes you way, way happier. And then you guys are out of a job, because there are less dogs than in the shelters, you know. So that is why we're pushing it so hard to have adoption events, having every rescue or shelter on our side to do it. I don't make no money out of it, but I save some lives with that. So that is very important to me.
So in closing, I know we're on a time crunch, but literally this could be the future of not just my store, but your community. What I want to do is really emphasize the fact that my doors are open. For community involvement, yes, there's policies, yes, there's procedures, and yes, there is partnerships involved along the way, but my door is always open. I want to see these things come to Bakersfield. I mean, my entire family's here. We want to be a part of the Bakersfield community. We want to make a difference, the same we have in Modesto. And again, I appreciate your time, and I hope that in these pictures you can see a future that I see for Bakersfield. And again, if you look at numbers, you can Google search it, how Modesto has been on the decline. Nobody that went to any of these things ever thought about that. And we actually adopted out 800. Actually, I think it was 820 animals in the year 2015. This year, they're actually doing a record year, I think about 925 adoptions just through our store. So let that sink in when we talk about think adoption first. Thank you.
We've got a lot of questions.
Oh, yeah. So you talked about the nonprofit. Now, did you partner with the nonprofit already existing, or did Petco assist in developing that nonprofit?
Carrie and Pups and Pals, they were actually, Carrie is the director. She actually worked with my predecessor, Monica McKnight. She relocated the Reno area, and I ended up taking over that store shortly after. But we actually helped Carrie because she had a vision for something great. She partnered with Petco. She actually got her 501c with the help of Petco. And now they actually have just exploded from there. But every partner that we actually do needs to be a 501c organization. And usually it takes anywhere, I think, like 6 to 12 weeks sometimes that I've been finding ways how I can do a loophole and get that expedited if new partners want to come aboard.
And you're trying to develop that partnership with the 501c3s and nonprofits here in
yes.
Bakersfield?
Yeah. Yep.
I asked you in the store, but I want everyone else to know, how many store managers like you are there? I mean, how many Petco stores are there nationwide?
Nationwide, I think we're at about 1,500 plus nationwide right now. We've actually opened up a lot in Hawaii. I think about 4 or 5 stores.
Just yeah, I think Hawaii has now 7. I just went to Hawaii, yeah, so okay. They have 7.
Seven, yeah.
It's growing, but honestly, how many managers?
That was part of the question. I know you're in the minority, but how many managers are innovative like you in doing these types of things? What percent?
I can't speak on the company's behalf of that kind of number, but for me personally, I started only doing 8 hours a week working truck. This was not a career in my head when I started for this company. I mean, I've actually had 3 dogs die in my arms during just being a manager for this company. And something in you, if it doesn't click, then I don't know. But for me, it clicked. It snapped. A lot of things for me changed over the course of years. I can speak all day on it, but once you see the impact of these lives on yourself, it really makes you question who you are as an individual and what you want to do. I mean, to be successful, and I'm not talking about a career, I'm talking about a lifestyle.
I might can answer that question a little bit. I worked for a different company before, and he is the only one I ever saw pulling out something like that. Do other stores working with rescues together? Yeah, but it's really just, it's your corner, and that is. They don't care, you know, they don't support, they don't care, and that is. And we want to change that, you know. We want to put it out and open up the eyes from the public to see, hey, we have those rescues here. Come on out, let's have fun, help out. Even if it's just a dollar, if you don't want a dog, do something else, you know, but help out. And he's the only one. And I've been here for 11 years.
Now, you're over at Gosford. Is this going to be implemented at the Rosedale store as well?
It's
or is
more
it up to each individual manager?
Usually up to the individual manager.
Okay. But will you try to bring them on board to partners?
Yes.
Yes.
Slowly but surely, I'm trying to build a bridge. Because, like I said, I'm used to the Stanislaus County, so I know people aren't accustomed to me so much. I'm still kind of young, I guess, in my field. I have a lot of areas to grow myself, I'm not going to lie. But honestly, I see a lot of opportunity, and I think I can bring that passion to the other store.
Okay.
Well, you're definitely passionate. And the first time I met you, you said that you would allow an event to be held inside
yes.
the building.
Yes.
Yep.
Doors
outside
are open.
On the black
if I had it, I should have wrote it. Doors are open.
Yeah. And that's, yes. You don't get that everywhere you go.
I know.
You don't get that.
We'll go through and see if anybody from the audience has any questions, starting here. Guys?
Nothing?
How about back here?
Liz has got it.
Please. Thank you, ladies.
Okay. Gentlemen in the back, do you have a question?
Yeah, I just want to confirm a couple of my assumptions. You currently have live pets, cats from the shelter in your store available for adoption?
Yes.
But you do not have dogs?
Not have dogs.
You can only do that during special occasions?
Yes.
Usually, yes. Because it has to be a partnership. I can't just bring anybody in that says they have Foster's Rescues because there's a liability issue that's at stake. At least I know Nick is true on his word for every single animal he's bringing to our store, and likewise can be said about Halt Rescue, that's a very good organization. They're doing all the footwork, but honestly, I need to be a voice to back it. So it's a very good collaborative effort between both Petco and the organization. So.
Right. Well, I just wanted to make sure I was clear on that. There
was a
marketing idea I had some time ago that I mentioned to Nick, and maybe we can discuss it after this week.
Sure. Danny's a good person to have on your side.
Yes, he is.
One other thing I want to mention, that in that first meeting we met over there, I went over there to get cat food, and I thought, you know what? We've got to have some animals here somewhere. Where are they? And as it turned out, he was the manager. I didn't know it at the time. And there's a cubicle there for six cubbies for 6 animals. And he goes, you know what, if you've got something like another one of these somewhere, you know, if someone has another set of 6 cubbies that is clean, that looks like this, I'll allow that to come into the store also. So Nick doesn't have one, but if anybody out there in any of your other groups has something like they have at Petco that would complement that, we could double our space for showing other animals.
Yeah, because there's like 3,000 people that come into my store weekly, so imagine 6,000 sets of eyes that are actually viewing these animals.
And further down the back row, anybody have any questions?
I kind of do, but I'm not quite sure how to say it.
Go ahead.
So you don't want us to surrender our animals to the shelter? You want it to surrender to
us? No. We're not a
shelter.
Yeah. We're not a shelter.
We're a retail store.
Yes.
I got tongue-tied.
Thank you. But basically, we're not a drop-off center. We partner as close as we can with Kern County and everything else, and we do, and I'm not going to lie, there's a reason why these dogs have died in my arms, because people drop them off my doorstep. I'm not a skilled technician. I don't have the gear inside my store. All I have is arms and legs to carry them, and all I did was carry them to you-know-what. So it saddens me. I mean, it's emotional, but I just want you to understand that we are not a drop-off building.
Okay. But you do a lot of positive things.
That answer your question? Okay. Anybody else? Do you have any questions? All righty. I'd like to thank you guys very much for bringing this to us. Okay. All righty. As we continue on public presentations, second row, Judy, do you have anything?
Nope.
Terry? Our friends from Critters, do you have anything? Liz?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Wouldn't be an Animal Services Commission meeting if I didn't get up and say something.
Like your co-op.
Thank you. My name is Liz Keogh, K-E-O-G-H. Proud resident of the 5th District. And I was asked a question yesterday, the answer to which I do not know. Is there still in our county ordinance a limitation on the number of litters a household can have per year? I looked up and found an article from 2010, Madam Chair, you were right up there at the top, when it talked about changing the ordinance from one litter per dog to one litter per household. Then I read the entire Title VII, and I couldn't find that anyplace.
Yeah, I don't think we have anything like that.
And I told my inquirer that there had been many changes since 2010. Most important of which was all the planning stuff that got moved over to us, and that the one litter per household dog or whatever may have gotten lost in the shuffle or no longer exists or whatever. Does anybody know?
I think what you may be referring to is only one litter per year may be sold and advertised in the paper. It's not a restriction on actually having multiple litters. It is a restriction on selling multiple litters per year, unless you're a breeder.
And to take that a step further, it doesn't make it illegal. It makes it, you're then required to obtain a permit that allows you to do that.
Okay.
But I do not specifically remember whether or not it was one dog or one household. I want to say it says one household, but again, that's a qualification for somebody to need a commercial animal facility.
That's what the newspaper article said. It was one per household, but it said...
That is correct.
Not whether you were selling them or keeping them, but simply one per household.
Yes.
And so...
It is the sale, though.
Okay, well, where the hell is that in the
ordinance? I don't know off the top of my head.
I mean, I know it's seven.
It's a big book.
7.08. Whatever.
Actually, it may not even be in the 08 section. It may be in the other animal control section. It's still Title VII, but I can give you the ordinance next month, or if you want to email me.
Or just the section, if you don't mind, Jerry.
I'll find
it. Do you have my email address?
No, I
don't. Everybody in the world does, but.
Yeah, I think I probably have been participating in one of those. If not, I'll get it from Ned.
Okay. Related to that, which you'll also love, Ms. Bradley, is as I was reading through this stuff, all of the references are still to Animal Control Department, Animal Control Director, and you know that's one of my favorite topics.
Yes, I got the commission back.
Yes.
Well, yeah, I got the commission. petition done, and unfortunately, the change of the name to Animal Services was done backwards. The ordinance should have been fixed first.
And then
the board passed the new name change. But it is on my desk. It's quite a number of corrections. And I'm also trying to clean up some old typos and problems. Okay. At the same time, it's an extensive project that I am working on.
So that whole Title VII thing you're not unaware of?
No, I'm aware of it in my copious spare time.
Yes. Like mine. Thank you, Madam Chair. That's all I wanted to say.
You know, just to add to that, I know Jerry is working towards making those corrections in Title VII, but a lot of our staff at Animal Services, especially the enforcement side, are familiar with the existing ordinances and the way they are. And the more we are seeking out and enforcing the ordinances that exist, especially for breeding, we're realizing there's a lot of deficiencies. Mm-hmm. And in order to support the department's overall goal, we know that it's going to be a massive undertaking, but those ordinances will have to be.
Yeah, we're going to have to revisit that.
Yes. Yeah.
Which we had discussed when we did the whole planning thing, that we were going to have to go back to that and discuss breeder's permits and all that kind of stuff. So. A new project for the new year?
Yes.
Yes, ma'am.
I have a question. Now, that's very interesting about the breeding and not breeding.
You want to come up to the mic?
Yeah. I think I have a loud one. No. What this thing makes a breeder a breeder?
We need your name.
Okay.
We need you to do all of the process. So we need your name and address.
My name is Tina Gonzalez, and I'm living here in Bakersfield. So the question is, what makes a breeder a breeder?
I'm sure everybody has their own individual definition, but...
Why I say that is because I do the right thing. I show my dogs, I title my dogs, I do the health testing. And then every Joe here in town has a female and male, put them together, has a litter after another, and sells them. Now it says you only can have one litter. I don't breed, so... But you can have one litter... Per household?
Per year.
Or per year. Selling it in a newspaper. How about Facebook, Craigslist? How do you want to control that?
controlling it is part of the reason why I have mentioned that the ordinances are something that's going to be on our agenda in the coming year to look into and rework. But to answer your question, the way the Title VII of the Kern County ordinances explains what council was just talking about is it requires an individual to obtain a permit, a commercial animal facility permit, once they sell or intend to sell one litter per year.
So more than
one litter per year. So that's the way the ordinances are written now, and that's what would qualify as a quote-unquote breeder.
Hmm. Okay. Because I see so many coming in our stores, and...
Yeah, and just to give you an idea, our enforcement wing, we do peruse Facebook, social media sites. It doesn't make folks happy.
Oh, no. But that's, I've been fighting that too, believe me.
That is so a large percentage of the facilities that we have to enforce the permit on, especially recently, we get out of social media. So, yeah.
Good.
Thank you. Thank you, Tina. Okay. Anybody back there for a presentation? All righty. That concludes public presentations. All righty. On to staff announcements.
There we go. Good evening. Nick Cullen, Director of Kern County Animal Services. Just a few highlights that I wanted to mention. In this month's director report, and for those of us who haven't been here before, I'll try to explain a bit. We like to highlight some of the successes that we've had over the month that we're discussing. So, for September of this year, our rescue partners have helped us remove 120 animals from the animal shelter just in the month of September. Our foster program, very successful. In the month of September, we entered 102 new animals into the foster program. We still do currently have 200 animals in foster families right now. That's kind of a rolling number because as animals graduate from the foster program, they hopefully, in theory, make it to adoption and then that clears homes for more animals that are in need for fostering. By the way, if there's any of us who are not familiar with these meetings and you're just curious, your animal shelter always needs help fostering animals. So if you can't give an animal a home permanently, a lot of times we have animals that are too young to survive on their own. And usually that means under 8 weeks of age. And we see the whole spectrum of animals. So we see animals that are day old, and we see animals that are 7 weeks old. And we can't send them out to adoption until they're spayed or neutered. And they can't be spayed or neutered until they're 8 weeks of age. So sometimes, if you want to support the efforts of your local animal shelter, whether that be the county's animal shelter or any other animal shelter in the area, becoming a foster, volunteering to become a foster, is a big part of what they try to do, what we try to do. And our particular foster program, we provide everything you need. So if you walk in and you say, I have a room and I have the ability and I want to save animals, we provide you with all the formula. If they're bottle-fed animals, we provide you with the knowledge on how to stimulate them to evacuate, to use the bathroom. And we give you all the supplies that you might need, food, bowls, leashes, anything you need to get that animal from the point it's at to the point that it's 8 weeks of age so that we can get it back, get it altered, and put it out to adoption. The animals that go through the foster program, prior to the foster program, they had a 0% chance of survival. The foster program now gives animals a 97% chance of survival. Just about every last one of them gets adopted. So foster program is super important. If you have the time or the compassion to do it, come down to the shelter. You can meet and speak with our foster coordinator. She'll give you everything you need. If you can't do it yourself and you know of somebody who is interested in animal welfare and they'd like to take part in their community's efforts to save as many animals as they can, invite them to come out to the animal shelter and fill out a foster application. We'll do the rest. We can give you as many as you want. Our trap and release program is still successful. I know I was speaking to Aaron Pecker earlier today. The exact number is 4,850 cats that were altered through the trap and release program at this point, well, through September of this year. Our spay neuter clinics are still happening. All of our spay neuter clinics at this point are still a result of the Litterless Lamont program, which is a grant that received from Petco, Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Or Litterless Lamont, is that a Petco grant?
Yes.
That's from Petco.
Yeah.
And we have altered 52 animals total between September 22nd and September 23rd. We have back-to-back spay-neuter clinics in the city of Lamont. It's 52 animals in the city of Lamont, which is a very small city, that will not be reproducing, which is a good thing. And I think I mentioned this last month, too, but our department is starting to get this pervasive mindset where they're seeing the fruits of everybody's labor, which when I say that, I mean our southeast officer who works the Lamont and Arvin area is realizing and recognizing that there's less animals that are running loose. Now, unfortunately, the animals that they are finding running loose are altered. So there's maybe a little bit more education that has to happen, but the fact of the matter is there's a lot less of it. And again, you know, the programs that are available out there, there's many of them for spay-neuter, not just the county of Kern. The city of Bakersfield has a spay-neuter program. I believe that's still available. Ms. Keogh, can you confirm that?
The voucher program is.
Okay. Critters Without Litters is an option. There's two folks here from Critters Without Litters who have altered thousands of animals in the last few years to contribute to what we're finally seeing. 35,000 animals.
Wow. That's
and counting.
Now, when did you guys open?
October 1st, 2012.
2012.
Awesome. 4 years.
There are a number of rescue organizations that are participating in the spay-neuter events and the spay-neuter program. So, again, if you're new to the county, if you're new to these meetings, there's a lot of good stuff going on in your community that's not just from people in this room. Some of it are people in this room. But there's other people out there that are invested in ending the overpopulation of domesticated animals in Kern County. Our vaccination clinics are going strong. For those of us who aren't aware, every Wednesday at the animal shelter on Fruitvale, we have a vaccination clinic where we'll provide HPV and rabies vaccinations at a discounted cost. And that's from 5 p.m. until 6:30 p.m. every Wednesday. There's one going on tonight at the same time that most people are watching the debate. We did have and we also do shot clinics, vaccine clinics at outlying areas throughout the community. We just wrapped up a vaccine clinic in Fraser Park, which is in the mountain communities, and that was very successful. 175 rabies vaccinations were issued, 204 licenses total. Moving right along, we'll talk about adoptions. I mentioned this last month, and that's a good thing. Last month, I gave the total number of adoptions. I think it was 535, and I asked. That seems like a lot. It is. 500 animals is a good number for us. I mean, if you extrapolate 500 animals a month that's placed in adoptive homes over a year, that's easily over 5,000 animals a year, which is about what we're adopting, about 5,000 animals a year. In the month of September, 506 animals total were adopted from Kern County Animal Shelters. Year to date, 3,924 animals. That was as of September. We're actually a little bit higher than that now. We're on target to beat the 5,000 that we adopted last year, which, again, is a good thing. It looks like there's a typo there, yeah. But we're at 516 cats that were so far adopted from Petco locations. Overall, I'm not sure the exact number that were adopted in September, but both the Gosford location and the Rosedale store are still adopting our cats out, and we are in the process of looking into alternatives about how to increase those numbers. Again, the Petco partnership has been outstanding. We've gotten really good support from both stores, well received from the public, and the Petco Foundation, Petco organization, deserves all that credit for here in Kern County.
Where's the typo?
At least on mine.
There's no numbers on.
There's no numbers under the third bullet point down. The
so
director.
516 is
total year to date.
Okay.
But I don't know the exact number in September. September, we did have an adoption promotion. It was called Fall in Love. I did not come up with the name, but I fully support it. And we really have focused on really trying to be creative with some of the adoption promotions that we've been coming up with. But it was very successful. As you can see, we adopted over 500 animals. We are currently in Howling for Homes. Is another adoption promotion. We participate in that every year. It's always very successful. After October, we roll right into Home for the Holidays, and then we'll have that promotion out through the end of the year. You will notice that our adoption fees, especially promotional adoption fees, are increasing, whereas before, as you can see in the Fall in Love promotion, it was $5 cats and $20 dogs. I can let you know that we're going to monitor it closely, but our promotional pricing for adoptions will be $40 for dogs and $20 for cats. And we'll monitor, like I said, to see what kind of effect that has on the total number of adoptions. Volunteers, as you can see, super successful volunteer program. Can't say enough about what our volunteers contribute to our animal shelter. They just allow, many of the volunteers are here tonight, actually. And for those who don't know, the folks to my left are volunteers as well.
Amen.
Volunteers have donated 2,334 total hours in the month of September. We equal that to about 13 and a half staff members. I've never had a half a staff member. I've had people that work. We do translate that into a dollar figure. That dollar figure that for the month of September was $54,989. That's the value of the services that those volunteers provide to us. And they do a plethora of things that you can see as it's broken down in those graphs at the bottom. Not only do they care daily for the animals, but they also provide socialization. They also do almost wholeheartedly support and completely support the Petco animals by cleaning them 7 days a week every morning. So the volunteers are a big part of that. We do rely on the volunteers also to help out in our clinics to guide the public where they need to go. We have volunteers in the shelter that answer questions. We have volunteers that perform office duties. We have a pet detective program where volunteers try to track down an animal that's in the shelter that somebody may be looking for, but they haven't checked the shelter. There's a lot of volunteer opportunities in the shelter. A lot of people will come to us and say, I'm a volunteer, but I'm allergic, or I'm a volunteer, but I'm scared of dogs. There's plenty of things that you can do to support the animal shelter. Again, not just the county's animal shelter, but any animal shelter in your community. Moving right along, field services. Field services is our animal control officers. In the month of September, our animal control officers ran 1,601 calls for service. As you can see, it's no different than any other month. The Northeast Bakersfield, the Northeast Metro Bakersfield area, we handle the most calls in the Northeast area, 471. That's also a product of the jurisdiction, because the Northeast jurisdiction is very large. And it's not only large, but it's densely populated in the Northeast as well. In the month of September, our animal control officers were able to return animals to their owners in the field. 23 dogs were returned to their owners. That number keeps climbing. We're just trying to promote it to the officers. And it's much easier on everybody if you make sure that you do the best you can to find that animal's owner and return him before it comes to the shelter. We're trying to approach a lot of issues where animals are loose with a more compassionate, maybe proactive approach to educate the public that that their animal being out can contribute to the overall animal shelter population. In addition to the animals that were physically returned back to their owners, 82 dogs were secured on property by animal control officers in the month of September. Those of us who aren't aware, officers will sometimes find a dog loose, able to determine through communication with neighbors or maybe even finding a microchip or somebody who might be walking by where the animal belongs to. Sometimes they have a tag that has their address on them. If it's just a gate that's open, a lot of times we'll just put the animal back on property and leave a notice to say, hey, your dog was loose, please make sure it doesn't happen again. 82 of those animals were returned that way in the month of September. That concludes the director's report, and I am available to answer any questions that anybody might have.
All right. Commissioner Blackburn?
I'll go last.
No, go, please.
Thanks for the report, Nick. And I did have a couple of questions on the volunteers. You don't have the number of volunteers that are actually enforcing. I always rag on Jeff because he's really taken this department from 3 volunteers to 100 and whatever. What is the number currently?
151.
151. Excellent. And I was able to do a little quick number crunching, getting the year-to-date figures. You know, we're striving to do better. Everybody's on the same page now, and it's just amazing to see the synergies going on with everybody. You know, everybody's positive. Everybody's working together as much as we can. We're kind of learning about this as we go. We went on a very nice tour today, about 2 hours. Again, thanks, Nick, for that. It was really amazing to see everybody working hard, all volunteers working, cleaning dishes, whatever. I'm really gratified. In fact, I think I may do it on the fostering deal. When I first met you in 2010, I rescued about 70 animals over like a 4-month period of time. I brought a bunch to my house. I had no idea what I was doing. And I told you, I had these 4 little kittens, and I thought I'm going to bottle feed them, right? And I thought, I'll just take one at a time. Well, they attacked me, and I had milk all over the place. I didn't know what I was doing, but I thought, you know, maybe I'm ready to do it again. Who is the coordinator of the fostering?
Deanna. Her name is Deanna.
Oh, Deanna, okay.
I think you met her today in the intake exam, did you not? I think you met her. You may
have. May have. So I'm gratified about that, because I've been talking about the euthanasia of the small, you know, the small animals. It's just hard for me and for everybody. But I mean, it really is. We would talk about it, and finally, you know, they got some traction on. People are stepping up to be foster parents, we'll call them, and you're providing them with a lot of the, you know, the resources to do it with, and I commend you for that. So the foster thing is really helping out on lowering the euthanasia, but giving these little animals a chance. They didn't have a friggin' chance whenever you euthanize them in 2 weeks. They don't have a chance.
I'm glad to see the return to owner up 70 from this time last year. And I think the pet detective, I met John today formally, and he's a great guy. And I know he's part of that reason that the return to owner numbers are up. 70 over last year is good. The euthanasia, just overall between cats and dogs, from this time last year versus this time this year, we've put down 1,300 fewer animals. Now, you stack up 1,300 animals. That's a lot of animals that are alive now. I think that's amazing. Overall, the percentage is about 65% on live outcomes, counting everything. We're still working to try to get to 90. We're going to get there. It's a work in progress. But when I came on the board 3 years ago, we were saving about 40%. So that's about a 50% improvement, more than 50%. So anyway, it's all good. Appreciate all the data. And when you can return dogs to their owners out in the field, not have them go through the system and just do it out there, it makes nothing but sense. So that's all the questions I have. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you.
Real briefly, I wanted to touch on a few things too. I know Judy's not here. The other Judy. Liz, you weren't prepared to speak for friends or anything, were you?
No.
Okay. Just to let everybody know, and I'm sorry I don't have the address, but on November 11th, which I believe is Veterans Day.
No, it's November 9th.
Sorry, November 9th.
November?
Yes. November 9th, Veterans Day.
Veterans Day.
Veterans Day is the 11th.
Okay, then November 11th is the day that I'm talking about. November 11th is the day I'm talking about, that at Broken Yoke Cafe.
Oh.
Broken Yoke Cafe. See, I was right, wasn't I?
Yes.
Liz, you're referring to Tahoe Joe's.
I thought I had this down.
You're thinking Tahoe Joe's.
Well,
yeah.
So, November 11th, it is Veterans Day. Broken Yoke Cafe. It is a great place to get breakfast. It's on the corner of White Lane and Buena Vista. Between the hours of 6 a.m. and 3 p.m., a portion of the proceeds that are obtained through breakfast and, for those of us who may like a mimosa from time to time, a portion of those proceeds will go to the Friends Foundation to support our Pets for Vets program. Our Pets for Vets program is an adoption program that provides no-cost adoptions to veterans in Kern County and their family members as well, their immediate family members. We've had, I don't know the exact number of adoptions, but it's easily over 100, probably approaching 150 adoptions for first year of the Pets for Vets program. And that's fully supported by donations from the public, and those are obtained through a GoFundMe account that the Friends Foundation has set up. But again, November 11th at Broken Yoke Cafe, corner of White Lane and Buena Vista, from 6 a.m. until 3 p.m., come out and have breakfast, and a portion of the proceeds will go to the Friends Foundation to support the Pets for Vets program. There is also a Tahoe Joe's promotion. Tahoe Joe's does a lot of the fundraisers for different organizations. The way they do it is there are coupons or vouchers that you purchase for a set amount, and it provides you dinner at a particular date. Those vouchers can be purchased from the Friends Foundation. They can also be purchased from Supervisor Couch's office directly. And again, those vouchers are $20. It covers the entire cost of your dinner. And a large portion of that $20 does go to the Friends Foundation, again, to support the Pets for Vets program. So those are two fundraisers that the Friends Foundation is working on. Also, I'd like to touch on the surgery room. Just to let everybody know, again, it occurs to me that maybe I wasn't very vocal about the surgery room as it was being built, but just to give you folks an idea, everybody here, when you run an animal shelter, we legally have to spay and neuter all the animals that come into the facility before we send them out for adoption. And when you're talking about, 5,000 animals being adopted every year, that's 5,000 animals that have to be spayed or neutered. We also have a trap neuter release program that contributes about another 1,500 animals every year. So you're talking about 6,500 animals that have to be altered every year, and critters without litters can't do all of them. We wish they could. Actually, they probably could. So, in years past, very recently, if you can imagine, non-critters without litter is better than spay-neuter, usually costs on average this department upwards of over $100 a piece. 5,000 animals, $100 a piece, you're looking at $500,000 to alter all these animals. So the county and our brilliant business manager came up with a plan a couple of years ago that it would make a lot of financial sense if a Capital Works project provided a surgical room for the facility. That surgical room was finished in August. It took us some time to get a new veterinarian on board and get her up to speed, but it's been about 6 weeks now, and we have not outsourced one surgery other than Critters Without Litters, which is mostly because they can do it cheaper than we can. But other than Critters Without Litters, we have not outsourced a surgery for about 6 weeks now, going closer to 2 months. So we're very grateful for that surgery room, simply because it allows us to stay within our budget, if not within our budget, very much under our budget. And we're grateful for the county providing that for us and for our Dr. Arnold, who performs the majority of the surgeries, as well as some of the contract vets that we have. Last but not least, I know he doesn't want me to, but there's a gentleman standing in the back, sitting in the back there. His name is Danny. I won't say who he is, but Danny's a very passionate, active guy in the animal welfare community. Every time I talk to him, I don't know if I told him this, but he kind of reinvigorates me and makes me think of different things that we can do. He's got such a passion for it, and he's involved in a lot of the promotions that we do. He comes out to the facility once a week and takes usually three dogs, maybe more, and he promotes them, and he has a blog that he does where he markets the animals and all of the animals that go through Danny's blog. Just about all of them get placed through adoption. Some of them take some time, but they get placed through adoption. And I think that he doesn't deserve the credit that he's due, but I just wanted to personally say thank you for everything that you do.
Thank you, Danny.
Sure. If I may just add something else to the volunteer report real quick.
Of course.
Gotta go with the mic.
Oh, yeah.
Go with the mic and identify yourself.
Can you walk?
Yes, I can. Okay. I'm actually wearing a shoe now. So.
Oh, nice. Oh, good.
It's only taken me 15 weeks, but I got a shoe. Jeff George, volunteer coordinator. Just wanted to add something to the volunteer report. As I was rectifying numbers this week, on October 11th, at the 3 p.m. shift, we achieved, or I recorded, the 307th hour for the month of October. Doesn't seem like a whole lot, but for me, it's kind of neat because that means we have surpassed all of last year's total hours in 2015 by 1 hour. So we're at 11,000. At that time, we're now at 11,035 hours.
Wow.
I think that's really good. Going back to what Nick said about the surgery spa, I was really blown away by it. I was really blown away by the fact that he hasn't outsourced any animals to any of these vets all over town, because you had to take them all over town, then you got to pick them up at 5 o'clock, and that's a lot of wear and tear on the animals and resources. And I don't know what the break-even point is, as our illustrious business manager could tell us how quickly you break even on that facility, but at that clip, it probably won't take long, Blake, to pay for that. I mean, whenever you're not having to outsource, you know, to the point of $100 per surgery, let's say. But I was blown away by that today. I thought, man, this is really amazing to see that happen. Maybe you can tell us next month. Unless you know now.
It's your turn, Blake.
It's my turn anyway.
Why not your segue?
It is.
I'm the hobble up there. I am Blake. I am the business manager, aka the EDI bean counter. And I, so on the break even, you know, I did it a while back, and I was told initially that it would cost $100,000, and under that it would pay for itself the first year. But it ended up costing a little more than that. What did it cost?
Over $250,000.
So let's say 300,000. It's going to take us 3 years to pay for itself. But that's
life.
That would cause a company in the real world
you know, where that wants to pull a profit, if they can pay for something in three, you know, a big investment like that in 3 years, it's done. Okay, so so I'm confident that it's not going to take us long to get that taken care of, and we've had some, you know, we've had some adjustments to do it. I mean, every single year I've been the business manager and I had to do budgets, there have been massive changes. And this surgery suite, it has created more massive changes. So we're doing budget adjustments all year long to, you know, moving stuff up and down. And it's we're going to be doing that again this year because of the surgery suite. But it's worth every second of the time. And it's one of those things where, you know, everybody knows I'm tight as they come, and people laugh at me for being so tight. And but if the surgery suite needs something, I just pretty much get it. You know, so far they haven't asked for anything ludicrous, but, you know, up to now it's just, yeah, you need that? Go for it. Because it's saving us tons of money. So I'm going to talk about the spay-neuter report that's related to the $200,000 that we got from the Board of Supervisors. Now, the last couple of years it was $250,000, but now it's cut down to $200,000. The reason they gave us was because of the Petco grant with Lewis Mott, that, you know, we got $50,000 from that, and they want us to encourage, they want to encourage us to continue going out and getting more money, and we are in a budget crisis. So, you know, there's the Lewis Mott. I think we have done all of the surgeries for that. I'm waiting for the. There was they were out there in Lamont again on the 13th and the 14th of this month, and we haven't gotten an invoice yet. But we had 46 to go before that, so we should be done with that, and we will have done 350 surgeries in Lamont, and it's good to know that the dogs that are being picked up have been fixed. So. How we want to spend the money this year, that's budgeted, everything's changed. Those numbers were pulled out of the sky. They're likely to change all through the years. We've so far this year we've done 350 TNRs and TNR surgeries, and we began again. Issuing our low-income vouchers on September 1st, and we've already gotten 106 redeemed. I'm thinking that we're going to, you know, that number will probably triple by next month, because the vouchers are going out, and, you know, we should get a whole bunch more in by, you know, at the end of this month. So it's moving along. I've got $110,000 set aside for low-income vouchers. And then we've got we budgeted $40,000 from the licensing revenue trust fund to supplement that. So hopefully, you know, we can before the end of the fiscal year, we can come up with $150,000 worth of low-income voucher surgeries. Now, if you look at what I did a couple things by zip code. So I've got the TNR by zip code, and what are the locations of this? And you can see that. Probably 45% of them are from the 93308 zip code. We've been doing so many spay-neuter surgeries in the 93308 zip code, and it appears that we haven't even scratched the surface of the cats that are there that need to be fixed. In fact, I'm told that if we went out on the property of Lairdo, we could do another 150 without any problem or more. The last page is the zip codes of the people that redeemed the vouchers. And the thing that I noticed here in looking at this was for a small community like the mountain communities, Fraser Park, Gorman, and I think Gorman is the mountain communities. They had 26 of them. That's almost 25%. And what we have going on up there is they go to the mountain communities Family Resource Center, and then the Mountain Scene. The Shelter on the Hill brings Valley Vet up there on a regular basis, and they use our vouchers to cover the cost of a lot of the surgeries. So we're having a lot of surgeries done there. So I thought that was interesting, where it seems like there's a disproportionate number of the redemptions that are coming from the mountain communities. So that's it. I'm done. If there's any questions? Yes, Liz.
Blake, do you know why 93305 isn't on the redeemed list?
As of this moment, there hasn't been anything redeemed that's come from there.
Really?
So
that kind of blows me away, because you know that's my zip code.
That's my zip code, too.
And it's...
So
drum up some business in the hood.
No, let's do it.
It doesn't mean they haven't been issued to residents.
Right.
No, I understand.
I think they just don't use it.
And frankly, this is so early into it that we normally get about a 60-70% redemption rate, and just by looking at it, we're only at about 40%. So, you know, we've got a lot of, there are a lot of vouchers that will be redeemed by next month that are sitting out there. So I'm not too concerned about this at this point, but I thought it was interesting to, and you're right, we need to look at, why haven't any vouchers been redeemed from 93305? You know, if we end up next month with still zero, we're going to have to look at that. See.
Well, and I'm relating it to Colin's report on calls for service in the Northeast, and that's 93305. A lot of it is. I think 93306 is also included in that. And when you have that many calls and then you don't see any vouchers redeemed, you practically want to find out who they were issued to and have a little chat with these people.
Well, a lot of the efforts in those two zip codes were handled by the nonprofit last year, and we haven't struck an agreement with that nonprofit again to provide the same service. So a lot of the success we had in those areas last year, like I said, were due to the nonprofit that was operating.
Because 05 was included,
yes.
It started in, 06 and 07?
6, 7, and 8. And then we added 5 and Lamont. And So even then, 05 was small, was underrepresented even with people going door to door. So it may be that we need to have some real concerted efforts in that area in education, so that we can improve that area.
I was just curious, thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
Where can we get the voucher?
Okay, so the vouchers are available at any animal shelter that's by Kern County Animal Shelter. So that's the one at 3951 Fruitvale. We have one up in Mojave on the airport property, and then we also have one in Lake Isabella. And so anytime that those are open, you can go in and get a voucher. We also issue vouchers at our events in the park. And so,
I called the Fruitvale office and they won't give me one because I don't live anywhere.
Right, so you have to be a county resident. You have to be a resident of the unincorporated areas of the county. So if you're a Bakersfield City resident, you need to talk to them about getting a voucher.
Live in the city?
Yeah.
Talk to me.
Yeah. Liz knows everything there is to know about both shelters.
About
Vernon
Shelter, and they don't give vouchers.
Correct. You're right.
So, yeah. So another place where you can go to get a voucher for cat would be Kern Humane.
That's right.
And they issue vouchers for cats.
Yeah. So first of all, at the Friday clinics.
Or Ms. Keogh, she could be directed to see the folks to your right.
Well, but she can still bring a cat voucher from Kern Humane.
You also it isn't ridiculously expensive. At Critters Without Litters. In fact, it's very cost effective at Critters Without Litters to get a cat fixed. So, I mean, I know there's places that, some of the vets charge like upwards to $200, and which is, So there are options available to you.
Yeah, like 4.5 years ago, I was lucky enough to have a private audience with the Board of Supervisors, and the main focus of that discussion was going no-kill. And I told them, I said, you know, there's a lot of benefits, it's good business, but I think you're going to see a lot of money come in from sources that maybe didn't support animal services in the past if we do get there or even say we're going to. You don't talk about contributions, and I don't know, I assume there's contributions coming in, donations. Can you comment on the numbers so far this year or compared to other years or anything like that?
I have to bring that back to you next month.
Okay.
to give you more specific numbers.
Right.
They're out there and they're available. I mean, a couple of things that have happened that are anecdotal is we had a couple of people drop by that are we're doing research for the Humane Society of the United States, and they gave us we gave them a tour and we had a nice conversation with them, and when they left, I got an email from them later saying that the people who were there, they don't work for Humane Society. They were volunteers for it. She said, "Yeah, we just want to donate to you. We want to make a donation to you.
Okay.
We haven't gotten it yet. There's a dentist's office in town that's talking about doing some things to donate to us. It really is opening up, and it's like
I feel it.
It feels like it's about ready to explode, but it hasn't exploded yet. But it just." And I'll have to look and see where we stand, and I do that usually each month on a month by month basis.
Okay.
But I can go back but for the next meeting, I'll come prepared to discuss donations.
Okay, and Ms. Bradley, would it be kosher if he was able to advertise the people's names and said, "Hey, so and so gave us $1,000"?
No,
it's not.
Not unless he has prior consent.
Okay.
Now, if somebody wants to send a donation, who and where do they send it to, and how do they address it?
Okay, so you can send it to the animal shelter at 3951 Fruitville. You can send it to my attention, or you can just and if you want to go to a specific thing, then I have ways of doing the books. We had somebody that. They came in and adopted a cat, and they wanted to give $100 to our foster program. And so I went to the foster coordinator, and I said, "So what do you want?" And she said, "Well, I need this particular kind of food in this particular kind of way, and if you could go get that for me, it would be appreciated." So we went over to Petco on Rosedale, and I got her the food, and then there's the food is paid out of. I put that $100 into that key. So, mm-hmm. So if you say I want this to go to the foster program, I go to the foster coordinator. And I go, "What do you want me to do with this?" And I take care of it right then, as fast as possible to get her what she needs specifically with that donation. And if you don't want to send us a check, call me and I'll get one of my capable and competent staff to take it over the phone, take your donation over the phone with a credit card. And and once again, if you wanted to just go to a particular place, then just tell me and we'll get it there. So,
one more follow-up question.
Okay.
Wait, if I can just interject something.
Okay.
There's an additional way to donate, and it's through our website. So if you go to the Animal Services website, there's a link that says Donate Now.
Okay.
Click right there. It takes you to a portal that'll allow you to donate. Sorry.
My follow-up question is, I did a grant search years ago. I know there's a lot of grants out there. And do we have somebody that's on your team that's monitoring the grants or applying for grants, and give us a quick,
Blake is.
what you can tell us on that.
So,
there's a lot of money out there.
Nick has applied for a grant or two. Sally Breyer has applied for a grant or two. I've applied for a couple of grants, and the PetSmart was the one that was the most successful that I applied for and got. Not PetSmart, the Petco one for Lamont was the one that was the most successful, and I want to follow up on the next grant cycle with them to get something else going.
Have there been any other grants that we've applied for and actually secured?
Commissioner Blackburn, if I may suggest, we are way off the agendized topic of spay-neuter report. If you'd like to make a referral for next month's agenda, we can agendize it and have a full discussion, and Blake will probably have better information at that time.
I'm just trying to think of other streams of income since we're on a budgetary front. You got this for next month. Back to the chair.
Aaron, you had a question?
It's more of a statement, if that's okay.
Quickly.
We're actually going to have a Tree of Hope a Tree of Hope donation drive is going to happen in November. It's going to go on for about a month near the end of November. Both our store and the Rosedale location will be doing that. Roughly about, I want to say, 80% will be going. For us, it will be Halt Rescue and Kern County Animal Services. Rosedale will probably be doing the same for that, so there will be a little bit of budget probably being paid out maybe in February. And also the extra 20%, a lot of people don't know where that goes. That's the grants you're referring to. There's money set aside for those kind of things, too. But that is going to come up in November.
Okay. Thank you.
Terry?
Just to clarify, the vouchers that are county vouchers are for people who live in unincorporated county addresses, and they're not for people that are in the incorporated Bakersfield. What if you're living in incorporated Tehachapi?
Okay, incorporated Tehachapi is different. We have a contractual relationship with Tehachapi. We are providing all of their animal control services at this time, and we get their licensing revenue. They don't get their licensing revenue, and so if you're in the incorporated areas of Tehachapi, then we will. We'll take care of that, and they can have a voucher.
Okay, great. Thank you. I have somebody I have to tell that to.
But if you're incorporated Delano,
no,
wouldn't work.
Doesn't work.
If you're incorporated, now what about Arvin?
That doesn't work either, okay. Because they take their licensing revenue, and okay. So they pay us on a per animal basis, and.
Because we take their animals, right?
Their officer brings their animals to us. Right. So, yes, we are there. We house the animals for the city of Arvin, where in Tehachapi, all of their services, all of the animal control services are provided by the county.
But it boils down to who gets the licensing revenue.
Yeah, pretty much, yes.
Okay.
I think
county.
And so next month you'll be able to talk to us a little about donations.
I had a question also about the Ridgecrest area, because I know like on the TNRs it doesn't list them either, and I don't know, is that because they're city run, or is that, because I know we've done quite a few of them, the particular clinic I work at, we've done quite a few of the feral cats, and I was just curious if that's included in that, or... Is that separate?
We don't handle any TNRs for the Ridgecrest area. Now, the Friends Foundation has been running some trap neuter release programs in the Kern River Valley. Okay. So if there are animals that are coming through, maybe part of a program, it's probably the Friends Foundation.
But I know the shelter there hands out the vouchers for the TNR, but I wasn't sure if that was included in this.
Our shelter?
The Ridgecrest shelter.
But they issue our spay-neuter vouchers.
Right.
Yes.
And we also get the... the TNR vouchers from them also.
I'm not familiar.
Okay,
with
we don't. The TNR vouchers don't come from us.
Oh, okay. That's
okay. They come from somewhere else.
Okay.
But they do issue our low income vouchers.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
They could come from what's Haas thing? Basic needs.
Yes.
Oh. Too.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you, Blake.
Commissioner,
yes.
Anderson, did the commission intend to make a referral on a report on donations?
Yes. We can make that referral. All right.
So we need to move to receive and file.
Any of the commissioners can make them. I'm sorry, Commissioner.
Oh, no problem. Okay, so I can have a motion to receive and file the director's report, the volunteer update, and the spay neuter updates.
I'll make the motion.
I second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. On to commissioner announcements or reports. Commissioner Tiger?
I don't have a report.
I had a great tour today. That's my report. And I'm just really upbeat about everything in general. I think it's getting traction on all 11 pieces of this no-kill model. And that's really the end of my comments, but I am very optimistic about things. So thanks again for the tour.
We had our Responsible Dog Ownership Day. First Saturday in October 1 at Mill Creek Park. It was a success. It was a nice way to get back into it since we've not done it for a couple of years. So it was well attended. I haven't got all the numbers yet, but we'll have those to report next month as far as the various services that were provided. So we want to thank everybody that attended and everybody that participated, and we're already planning for next year. And then I want to really thank Nick, Director Cullen, for doing an exemplary job since you've taken over.
Yes.
And you've got such a great, we've got such a great team now with Blake and Jerry and Jeff, all the way down the line. I think we have finally got a cohesive group of people, I guess, ever. we've just got a really great group of people. We've got a great attitude. We've got a great vibe down there.
It is.
Lots of good things happening, and I'm so appreciative to the people that come to the meetings and share with us and bring things to our attention. And for those of us that have been here since the beginning, it's really noteworthy. And I think we just continue to work in a positive fashion. I see nothing but good things ahead. So I want to thank all of you.
Thank you for your support.
No one's allowed to quit.
So that's it for Commissioner.
Oops.
Let's see here. Old business. We have a follow-up on public request for euthanasia in regards to Las Vegas Kern County. Yes. Please.
I'm shorter than everybody else.
Not me.
Except Liz, yeah.
Well, yeah, I think we're pretty close.
Yeah.
Liz had requested a kind of a review of the Locke decision, which came down in 2006. For those of you who are not aware, local animal rights activists, sort of local animal rights activists, sued the county for poor treatment of feral cats and problems at the Mojave shelter. It was a lawsuit that lasted about 2.5 years. And out of that lawsuit came an injunction requiring the County of Kern to do certain things. With respect to the feral cats, most of the requirements of the injunction are now less of a requirement than actual law is. So it's not really relevant anymore. But basically, we were not allowed to euthanize cats for 4 days, not counting the day of impoundment, unless they were injured or ill. No euthanasia of owner-relinquished animals for 4 days, not counting the date of impoundment, unless they're injured or ill. The requirement under the Hayden Act is 7 days now. And then with respect to the Mojave shelter, the injunction permanently shut down the drop bins. I don't know if you all are aware of and required that the Mojave shelter allow both rescue and private adoptions at the shelter, and all of the animals released must be spayed or neutered as required by law. That was the basic requirements out of the lawsuit, and like I said, most of those are part of current law anyway. The last requirement was the judge gave specific instructions with respect to the tests that the shelter uses to determine adoptability, basically requiring that we adopt a policy with multiple considerations. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Could I ask Ms. Bradley a quick question?
Of course.
I thought I was getting off too easy.
How does that affect the general understanding that Kern County Animal Services refuses to take in owners surrendered animals for the purpose of euthanasia?
If an owner surrenders an animal under the injunction, we have to, well, under the law, we have to hold that animal for the same amount of days. Mm-hmm. And under the law, we are required to notify any rescue who has previously requested it when an animal is due for euthanasia, so that they have the opportunity to come in and rescue it. So the shelter can no longer guarantee an owner who's surrendering an animal that that animal will be euthanized. It's not that we can't take it legally. I don't know what the policy at the shelter is. It's that we cannot guarantee that it will be euthanized, and we certainly can't euthanize it for the required holding period.
Right. Okay.
On to, our emergency prep. Do you have anything?
I don't have anything.
Okay. I can speak on that.
Okay.
We haven't met with Commissioner Geary in some time. It's been about 6 weeks, I think. But Animal Control Officer Smith and myself and a coordinator with the Central California Animal Disaster Team are actually very close to finishing off the department's new and improved disaster preparedness response policy. And once that is signed off on, we'll all get together and kind of pick it apart, see what works and what doesn't. And then after that, we'll probably present that to the Emergency Operations Center as well as the fire department.
Now, I had forwarded to Commissioner Geary some USDA grant opportunities for disaster prep. Should I forward them to you as well?
I believe she sent those to me.
Okay, perfect. All right. Good, thank you. Let's see, Friends isn't here. They have already provided us that information. So on to new business. There is none. So
zero.
It's a zero. Not a. So, wait, yes, Judy.
I have a comment.
Okay. A little out of order.
Point of information. How's that? Point of information.
No. We're off the agenda.
Okay.
We'll be back early, didn't you?
Judy, I can speak with you after if you'd like.
Okay.
Sound good?
Sure.
Okay, cool. All right, so then we're just on to adjournment.
I move to adjourn.
All right, and that'll be until November 16th.
I second that.
All right, all in favor? Any opposed? Thank you for coming.
Thank you.
Hit that gavel.